The shepherds took the stage, a second spotlight came on, and Dave appeared as the angel of the Lord. The shepherds mimed fear and shock, but one look at Dave and several of the shepherds turned away from the audience to hide their laughter. Dave whispered,
"Hey, what's up? Something wrong with my costume?"
That convulsed two of the shepherds. From the seats, it looked as though they were overacting their awe of the angel. Dave hadn't detected the superglue when he put his arms on the armrests. His questions unanswered, he didn't notice that his costume was firmly attached to the armrests and other parts of the stand. Jerry and Pete helped the three wise men mount the camels. Charles was put on Misty, with Jerry guiding, and George was on Gladys. The lead rope for Gladys was tied to a ring on the back of Misty's saddle, and Pete at the rear led Topper with Bill on board. Jerry whipped out a soft rag and wiped gobs of sticky mucus from Misty's eyes. Gladys watched and waited for Jerry to clean her eyes. It didn't happen. Jerry whispered to the Magi,
"Stay quiet and let us do the talking. Relax, stay loose."
He stepped to the side of Misty that wouldn't be visible to the audience.
"We're on, gentlemen."
Jerry and Pete led the camels and their riders over the mound toward the stable. Floodlights backlit the Magi as they crested the rise. The camels and Magi appeared in silhouette, as though on a hill with the setting sun behind them. The effect was dramatic, and all watching the scene became quiet. Gladys was not happy. Jerry was concentrating on Misty, and she was in the lead. Gladys snorted, blowing gobs of camel. Well, she cleared her nasal passages. Jerry was her buddy. She watched him attend to Misty through eyes narrowed by jealousy. Unable to endure the betrayal in silence, she raised her head and vented, Misty smacked Gladys across the nose with her tail for the fourth time, then raised her tail and passed a potent cloud of gas. Gladys snorted and laid her ears back. Her nostrils flared with rage, and she brought up a mass of stinking cud. It was time to settle the pecking order. She squinted against the glare of the stage lights and watched for a chance to make her move. Topper was not used to being at the end of a line. Then again, he was following a female, and she might be willing. Well, probably not, but how could she resist a studly dude like himself? He wasn't sure if he should make a move on Gladys or resent being third in line. Like many males, his brain wasn't built to handle two thoughts at once and walk in a straight line, especially if one of the thoughts was about sex. He stopped. Pete felt Topper's lead rope tighten. He turned to see what his charge was doing and, with a jerk on the rope, put Topper in motion again. Topper decided Gladys wasn't his type. On the other hand, Topper wasn't sure what his type was. Oh, Lord, another question. Topper stopped, and Pete put him in motion again. Topper's observations blended seamlessly with his daydreams, something males of all species have a talent for. He blew his soft palate out his mouth and exhaled loudly around it, the male camel equivalent of bedroom eyes and expensive cologne. Pete saw Topper's display and realized he had to get Topper under control. He jerked on the lead rope to let him know who was in charge and wished he'd put a nose peg in the idiot. Topper sucked his soft palate back in, but decided he'd ignore Pete and give Gladys a playful nip on the rear when he had the chance. As they descended toward the stable, he watched for a chance to make his move. Charles heard the gasps of the children in the front row when the Magi and camels were seen at the top of the rise. He savored the oohs and ahs of the audience and congratulated himself for having the guts, talent, and inspiration to create the pageant. He sat erect and tried to look stern and wise as he composed a toast to himself for Bill to give at the party that night. In profile, with his chin up and his turban slightly askew, he looked oddly like a caricature of Topper. Jerry halted Misty when they came to the calves tethered at the stable. He dropped Misty's lead rope, reached toward her rear, and with a jerk untied the slipknot that linked Gladys to Misty's saddle. At that moment, he was not in control of either camel. Gladys launched her attack as Misty dropped to her knees for Charles to dismount. Gladys hadn't counted on Misty dropping. She might have adjusted her aim, but Topper nipped her in the butt at the same time she spit at Misty. Charles had eaten a spicy barbecue for dinner, and the way he rolled in every direction as Misty lowered herself for his dismount had a dramatic effect on his stomach.